From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 1-800-NOW-OPEN or open.com.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. The award-winning singer and guitarist Robert Cray has helped usher the blues into the start of the 21st century. His 1986 album Strong Persuader, with this hit, Smoking Gun, won him the first of his five Grammys. The Robert Cray Band has been together in various incarnations for over 30 years and played over 1,000 gigs. The band has just released its first live recording. It's a 2-CD set, and it brings Robert Cray to our Soundcheck studio. Robert, 1,000 gigs, 30 years, you finally get around to making a live record. What took so long?
Well, when you do a live recording, it's a one-shot deal in most cases. And when you have that one-shot deal, you get ready for it, you tighten up, you lose your voice, and all kinds of things happen. So it's never worked out. We have a lot of tapes that we recorded over the years that we just can't do anything with.
So you have all years and years of tapes of you losing your voice.
We have tapes of me losing my voice, the band so wound up that, you know, nothing happens, you know. So, I mean, they're great. There's certain parts of those tapes that are great. And I'm sure a lot of them have come out as bootlegs, but we couldn't use any of them.
All right. Well, you're touring with Eric Clapton and his band the next three nights at Madison Square Garden. And I guess this record was also made earlier this year while you were still touring with Eric Clapton.
Exactly. And that's what's given us the opportunity to release this record was the fact that we did seven shows at Royal Albert Hall in London. And so my wife came up with the idea, so perfect opportunity to record.
Right.
So I couldn't get to the phone fast enough. but the thing was, the tape was rolling, but that wasn't our concern. We weren't thinking about the tape rolling because we were opening up for Eric and we wanted to gain some new fans. And so with all that pressure on us, hey.
The pressure of the recording receded into the background,
exactly.
So you were able to do it.
Exactly.
All right. The album is called Live from Across the Pond by the Robert Cray Band. When you do the song 20 in front of a live audience, and maybe it's different in Royal Albert Hall in the UK from how it is here in the States, but, you know, here's a song which is sort of a critique of the Iraq War and the way it was sold to kind of the rank-and-file soldiers. What kind of response do you get from a live audience?
We get a really positive response. Now, I have seen a few people get up and walk out, and we have received, you know, I can only remember one email that's from a fan that said, I'm no longer a fan. But people stand up and cheer after the end, or you hear them, you know, in certain passages of the song, responding in a positive way. I've talked to military people who are really happy that we've, you know, recorded the song, and mothers who've lost children, you know, and that kind of. But it's been positive for the most part.
What was the inspiration? Why did you write the song in the first place?
I wrote the song because I just felt that the soldiers who signed up to join the military want to do the right thing, but that's not the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you glean the news. My father, having served 27 years in the Army, I know that when they get an order, they have to do what they're told. And so I thought about them, and that's how I put it together.
My guest is Robert Cray. This is the live version of the song 20 from the album Live from Across the Pond.
Standing out here in the desert, trying to protect an oil line, that I had in mind. They call this a war on terror. I see a lot of civilians dying. Mothers, sons, fathers, and daughters. Not to mention some friends of mine. Some friends of mine. We're supposed to leave.
The song is 20 from Robert Cray. The album's called Live from Across the Pond. Robert, it's pretty straightforward in its language.
Yeah.
Did you actually have friends in Iraq who didn't come back?
I didn't.
All right, so it's not autobiographical.
It's not, no.
But you mentioned your dad was, you know, a career Army, was a soldier,
yeah,
27
he was,
years.
He was in the Army for 27 years. He was in Vietnam, and he was also in Korea twice.
Mm-hmm. And the idea of being in a job where when you are told what to do, you go do it.
That's what you do.
And you don't really get a chance to ask a question. Do you somehow feel that maybe you're asking the question that these guys and now women can't ask themselves?
That's exactly right. I know that, you know, as, you know, they being soldiers, they're not allowed to question, you know, their superiors or to make statements against that. In public, anyway.
Yeah. Now, what about, I mean, the blues as a form of music where this kind of, you know, political or social commentary, you know, can be heard, can be expressed. I mean, we think of the blues, we think of, you know, my baby left me,
personal
or where am I going to get the next, you know, bottle of whiskey from, and stuff like that. You know, this seems like it might be, you know, coming from a slightly different place.
Well, it's, when you think about it, it's blues. It is.
Mm.
It's not the personal one-to-one, you know, type of blues song, but it's blues. It's the blues for the people serving in Iraq.
Right.
Yeah.
So there have been recordings that have been issued recently, you know, of, you know, there are all these, this interest in world music, and I've seen a couple of records of blues from around the world, and, you know, you go to Egypt and Vietnam and Central Asia, and you can hear the blues. I mean, it's kind of a universal concept, isn't it?
It is. Well, it's a one-to-one, you know, relationship that everybody has, you
mm-hmm.
know?
And yet when we refer to the blues, we're talking about something that's really specific, comes out of an African-American tradition.
Right.
And ironically, you're presenting it these days, I would guess, to a mostly white American audience.
That's true.
So why is that?
Well, I think that it's because of the fact of the lack of younger people, younger black people in particular, hearing the music. Now, I know, fortunately for me, I mean, I was able to hear a lot of it, and I took a fancy to it, so to speak, in my teenage years because I was a guitar player.
Mm.
But, you know, a lot of kids these days, they don't have the opportunity to listen to it, or their parents don't play the music for them. But when you leave America, obviously, as everybody knows, I mean, America has such great music that, you know, blues is a part of it, just like jazz and country and rock and roll, all great American musics. And people outside of America really look towards America for the great music that we have to offer.
And I mean,
except for people at home.
Yeah. Well, it's that old saying about a prophet not being recognized in his own country.
Yeah, it's like, when was the last time you went to the Empire State Building, you know? It's
yeah,
like,
right. Or the Statue of Liberty or whatever
yeah,
the case
exactly.
may be. You know, the funny thing is when the Beatles first came to the United States, they were amazed and I think a little horrified
right.
at how many of their fans didn't know the blues that was so important to them.
Exactly.
Were you, were you a Beatles fan back in the day?
I was a Beatles fan. Beatles were the reason why I got a guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that did they come before the blues? Did you hear the Beatles before you heard Charlie Patton and Robert Johnson?
Well, probably, before I heard Charlie Patton and all. But you know, we had records at home. You know, my parents had a great record collection. And a lot of the time listening to records was spent when we were in Germany, as when I was in the early 60s, from about 60 to 63, and my dad was stationed in Munich. And we bought records a lot at the PX, and we listened to Armed Forces Radio. And, you know, as we were kids, and we'd gotten this brand new Grundig console stereo with the big FM, you know, and all the bands. and we had the
couch sized
big turntable, and we had the reel to reel deck and all that, and you know, the 45s were plentiful at the house, and Mom would stack up her Bobby Bland and Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson and stuff, you know, when you're supposed to be in bed,
right?
And those records just kind of like, you know, crept into the bedroom, you know, and you can hear them all. Mm. It was great. So I'd heard all those records, and as well as, you know, the B.B. King and Johnny Hooker and all the other kind of music we had growing up.
My guest is Robert Cray. He's performing with his band tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at Madison Square Garden with Eric Clapton and his band. Let's dip back into the record, live from across the pond, recorded at Royal Albert Hall in the UK, and a song called I Was Warned.
Right or the wrong, at least the mystery is gone. The more people talked about her, the more I had to see. Had to find out for myself, what could she do for me? Her lips were so inviting, and her hands soft to touch, but after just one kiss, I knew I was out of love. From then on, I was hers to control, knowing that she robbed me of my heart and robbed me of my soul.
I Was Warned is the name of the song from Robert Cray. He's my guest on Soundcheck. The new 2-CD set is a live album made across the pond in Royal Albert Hall. This song, Robert, you know, has a bit of something else going on. It's not, you know, your typical blues band. Is it a Latin tinge?
Yeah, you know, I think it's our tribute to Carlos.
Uh-huh, it's Carlos Santana.
The thing with our band is we like a lot of different kinds of music, you know, and like we mentioned, I mean, I, you know, a fan of the Beatles. I grew up with all kinds of great music at home, and in my record collection, I have a lot of different things.
So that stuff, I mean, you know, some of the people that you've mentioned, you know, from the Beatles to John Lee Hooker to Otis Redding or Jackie Wilson. I guess there is no pure blues anymore. I mean, there were always several streams of it, right?
Right, right.
And so the idea of like crossing over into the rock world, which you've done with, you know, great success.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the album that we began with Strong Persuader.
Yeah, with Smoking Gun.
I mean, yeah. Smoking Gun hit the top of the rock top 40. It was heavy rotation,
right,
on MTV and
right.
stuff. I mean, that was that a way of kind of starting the trend to reach a new audience? You mentioned the new record was an attempt to do that.
Well, for us, it was nothing unusual, because what we do is, like, when we start writing, when we write songs, we don't tell ourselves we're writing any particular kind of song. At least I don't.
Mm.
I sit down and I write, and whatever comes to me, if I like it, it's good. If I don't like it, I won't use it, you know? And we just happened to be lucky at the particular time when Strong Persuader was released that there was this, to me, it seemed like there was this big roots revival going on. And if you go back to that time, there was Los Lobos, there was the Fabulous Thunderbirds, there was Stevie Ray Vaughan, and a host of other bands kind of doing that kind of, you know, American roots kind of thing. And we just happened to be there at the same time and got associated with the blues part of it. And even though Smoking Gun had nothing to do with blues,
right?
You know,
Are there people who see it as kind of disrespectful to any of these traditions that guys like you and Stevie Ray Vaughan were sort of updating them and bringing them into rock, or bringing rock into the blues?
Oh yeah, we hear about it all the time, but it's just part of, you know. There's people who like their blues a certain way, and you know, but that's their view.
All right.
You know?
The song Right Next Door originally was on that Strong Persuader album 20 years ago. It appears on the new record as well. This is live from across the pond, the Robert Cray Band.
I can hear the couple fighting right next door. Their angry words sound clear than walls. Around midnight I heard him shout, unfaithful one. And I knew right then the axe was gonna fall. It's because of me. It's because of me. I heard him shout, who is he? She mumbled low. She said, listening through these thin walls, silent shame. As she called out my name, I was right next door. It's because of me. It's because of me. It's because of me.
From originally the album Strong Persuader back in 1986, this is Robert Cray and his band doing Right Next Door, Because of Me, from the live album. Robert, to me, you hear more of that kind of rough, earthy quality in the live version than you do in the kind of slickly produced, you know, studio and recording studio.
Right. The studio recording of it, I mean, we did the recording for the album in about a couple of weeks for Strong Persuader, and then we left to go back out on the road. We took a break from the road to go do it, and then when we left, we had recorded the record originally for the Hightone record label. In the meantime, Hightone was approached by Mercury, and then the whole deal went through, and then Mercury took the record and they gussied it up.
While you were out on the
road?
While
we were out on the road.
Wow.
And so you hear all these whirly effects on it and all that stuff and the guitar solos and all
Holy
that stuff.
Holy cow. So wait a minute. So the record comes out, you put it on the player, or maybe it was straight to CD in 1986, and you're like, what? Where did this come from?
Yeah, it's a lot different than what we had left within the studio.
Has that ever happened again?
I mean, no, it never happened again.
All right, so you learned your lesson. Now it's like, I want to make sure I know what's coming out. I know what went
exactly.
in. My guest is Robert Cray. He's performing with his band, opening for Eric Clapton tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. As you look at, you know, some of your the mentors, I mean, who are the musicians who really meant a lot to you in terms of developing your own sound and your own style?
There's been a lot over the years, and for guitar playing in particular, there's like B.B. King. I love him because just he speaks to you, not at you.
Mm.
That's his personality too. And I think for the most part, I like people who play in that way, and they talk to you, and they kind of like they put their arm around you, you know, and take you on a place, you know. And Albert Collins was one of my heroes. He played our high school graduation party in Tacoma, Washington in 1971. We made this Showdown record together with Johnny Copeland, and he's always been one of my heroes. I've loved John Lee Hooker, you know, and Freddie King, Albert King, people like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do an Elmore James song on the album, 12-Year-Old Boy.
Right.
Is he another one? I mean, is that
Elmore James,
sort of different from the other
it's
guys?
It's different. And we do, of course, we do it a little bit different than Elmore's version, but I've always appreciated Elmore's music because I think that out of all the singers and guitar players that I can recall, Elmore has to have been the most saddest man when he sang. He just cried, you know. So we did that song, and then that, you know, that the sentiment behind that song is just, it's hilarious, first of all, and it's not true, but it's just sad.
Let's hear Robert Cray and his band from the album Live from Across the Pond and Elmore James's 12-Year-Old Boy.
My little boy, 12 years old.
Robert Cray is my guest. Does it hurt to sing like that?
Sometimes.
You got the real tight pants on to hit those high notes? You've got a guitar named after you, right?
Well, we have a Robert Cray model of the Fender Stratocaster, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you play it?
Yeah, I do.
And is it like baseball mitts where, well, you know, different players like a different feel?
It's different. I mean, I was approached by Fender a while back, and what we did is we took two Stratocasters, two standard model Stratocasters that I had, and we worked on getting the neck the way I liked it, and the pickups, you know, to sound the way I wanted to, and then, you know, we just went from there.
Okay, so it's an instrument made to your own specs. You knew what the sound would be when it was designed.
Yeah, we worked on the sound. Yeah,
right. The sound of Robert Cray's guitar and Eric Clapton's guitar and their two respective bands. This has become like a regular thing. I mean, when this album was made, you were opening for Eric Clapton early this year. You're opening for him again tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then next year you come back together again elsewhere in the country.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And we've been having a great time, and Eric's got a fantastic band, and I think it's a pretty good package. And according to Eric, he feels the same way.
Well, it's for people who like blues and are not maybe blues purists, but like to hear it in kind of a rock context, there's two guitarists out there who know what they're doing. Robert Cray is opening for Eric Clapton tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday at Madison Square Garden. The new CD is called Live from Across the Pond. It's a 2-CD set from the Robert Cray Band. A real pleasure having you here on the show today. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it.
Up next, singer-songwriter Carmen Consoli. She is a prominent fixture on the Italian folk, rock, and world music scenes. She'll perform live here in our New York studio, and then later on hear how the chicken noodle soup has gone from a small underground dance craze to major label phenomenon. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.